says, a personal missionary letter telling of the revival in the North China Mission. And this was dated July 4th, 1932. And it says, in our annual missionary conference here these last few days, some exclaimed, oh, there are Baptist people at home could hear and see what has come to our ears and eyes these past months. Yes, replied another, how they would rejoice with us. And should the Holy Spirit bless them as he has many of us and our Chinese brethren and sisters, the dead on foreign missions would be wiped out in a short while. That you may enter into this joy with us, pray for greater blessings upon us and for a real revival in the churches of our Southern Baptist Convention. The writer was asked to prepare one or more letters to be sent by individual missionaries to pastors and others at home. It may not be generally known that perhaps the greatest revival in the history of Southern Baptists in North China is now being experienced in many Chinese churches of our North China Mission. This has come as a result of earnest prayer, faith in God, Bible teaching, and much preaching on sin and kindred subjects. Numbers of Christians and churches are being revived. Restitution of money is being made. Tithes of the Lord held back are being brought forward. Sin confessed to God and to those who have been wrong. Sick are being healed. Devils cast out. Men and women, boys and girls are preaching with a power hitherto not known. Hundreds are crying for mercy and are being saved. The devil is also at work, but there is great blessing and rejoicing in many places. Missionaries and Christians are marveling at the wonderful works of God. During a quiet series of meetings held in Sinan, the capital of Shantung, people were led to examine their hearts, for the searching message of the leader was, are you saved? Have you been born again? A simple question asked publicly and privately throughout North China and Manchuria has put many to thinking. Church members apparently unsaved, leaders among them, confessed their sins and were marvelously saved. Other meetings were held in Sinan. Each time the people moved closer to the Lord. Joy following the forgiveness of sins, love for Christ, and concern for the lost took possession of the saved and has spread like fire there and elsewhere in that region. The wonderful results among the students of the Shantung Christian University. This fine institution joins the Baptist compound in Sinan, 100 being saved the past year. Many were led to the Lord by a professor also blessed in these meetings. Missionaries, pastors, and others willing formerly to work only as average Christians became dissatisfied, put themselves on the altar anew, were filled with the Spirit, and now see the Lord in a different way. They have a new joy in the Lord and a vigor in their work hitherto not known. The revival there, as at other places, began with the leaders. Some missionaries found that they were not without sins, and so did other leaders. These confessed their sins to God and to those whom they had offended, even though this often meant loss of face, embarrassment. This result is many are being saved. God's power came mostly during prayer services, while studying earnestly the Holy Spirit and His work by men and women who met separately in rooms of the church. People were broken up and wept for their sins. There were then special manifestations of the Spirit's power and great rejoicing. Nothing like it has been seen in Old Sinan. A young man, for years only a nominal Christian, came forward confessing his sins and placed on the table $10 which he had wrongfully received. Others also brought money which did not belong to them, and a number brought funds which should have been given to the Lord. A wealthy man had been only an average Christian, become a great leader, and so have others. These have now gone out in the city and country churches, some of which are almost dead, to conduct meetings. Churches are being revived and many saved. The big gospel tent, unused for 2 years for lack of funds and workers, is now being taken over the country by earnest Christians, these bearing the expense and doing the preaching. Sinan Church now pays all its pastors' salary, supports 3 theological students in the seminary, and has made other advances in self-support. Speaking of the revival in the country districts of the Sinan Field, one of the missionaries said, our country work has been revolutionized. Last year we decided to discontinue work at 2 places and go on to others because the people seemed hardened, but now it is different. The few old Christians there have been revived. They have power and are now doing the preaching themselves. It all seemed a dream, did we not realize it is real. A man at another place thought himself saved, but then realized he was lost and prayed in great agony for forgiveness. He is now saved and also his wife. They have revolutionized their village. Another layman who was saved recently has rented a place to be used as a preaching hall. Numerous Christians have confessed their sins and gotten right with God, and saved who scoffed at the gospel are now coming for salvation. What we call the model church, recently built by the people themselves in one of the villages, a result of the revival, is the best building in the town and is crowded. The 50 to 60 are awaiting baptism there. As God's Spirit is doing wonderful things in the capital of Shantung, elsewhere our mission as a result of earnest prayer, preaching, and teaching of His Word. Pray that the fire may continue to spread and that God will likewise bless His people in the homeland. So now we see this is the New Zealand revival in 1936. Ngāruawahia was the gathering place each Easter for the New Zealand Christians concerned about the deeper Christian life. The spring of 1936 may anticipate that this might be the year when God would bring revival to their group. Much of that anticipation was created by the invitation of revival historian J. Edwin Orr to speak at the Easter conference. Several revivals had occurred during Orr's ministry in other places. By the beginning of April of that year, many intercessors were praying for revival in New Zealand as well. Even before Orr got off the boat in Auckland, he began meeting people who assured him they were praying for him. I was greatly struck, he later recalled, by the atmosphere of expectancy which prevailed, especially among the young people. There was no end of enthusiasm. The forerunner of revival began on April 8th, the last day of classes at the Bible Training Institute in Auckland. Orr and several other Christian leaders had been invited to preach to the students. When Orr concluded his message on revival, he invited students to pray. Revival actually began as students confessed various sins in prayer. The next speaker decided not to preach so they could continue in prayer, or sensed that God was about to do something significant during his visit to New Zealand. Next, Orr preached a message directed at Christians at a tent meeting in the Mount Eden district of New Zealand. As he spoke, the Lord began to work in their hearts. A young man stood to request prayer for deliverance from sin. He was followed by another, then another. Then one of the leaders of the group rose to speak. "You all think I am a deeply spiritual Christian," he began. "I know that I have that reputation, but I want to tell you that inside I am like a sepulcher." Confession changed the tone of the meeting. Some in the group began to weep. Others broke down as they tried to speak. Two or three began to pray at once. A young man began to sing. "Calvary covers it all, my life with its guilt and shame. My sin and despair Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all." As the meeting came to an end, no one seemed to be willing to leave. "Many of us have been praying for revival," commented a local pastor. "Revival has started." Convention at Ngāruawahia began the next day with the usual formalities. Throughout the day, there was a growing expectancy that revival was coming, but nothing seemed to happen. After the final meeting Friday evening, Orr was approached by a young man telling him a dozen of his peers in tent number 29 were concerned about revival and would like to meet with him. After the evangelist discussed his interest in revival with those gathered, he asked, "Do you really believe that God is going to give us a revival?" A dozen young men who were gathered respond in unison, "Amen." "Yes," Orr prodded, "but do you believe that he will start the revival here in this tent tonight?" After a moment of silence, one young man answered quietly, "If we pay the price." Orr suggested the group put God to the test by praying together for revival to see if God keeps his word. As several in the group began to kneel, one young man spoke up. "Don't," he cried out, "before we pray to God for revival, I want to get something off my mind." Turned toward another in the tent and said, "I want to confess openly that I have been criticizing you behind your back. Will you forgive me? I think I ought to get right with you first." The friend answered, "It's my fault too. I've been doing the same thing behind your back. May God forgive us both." This group knelt, conviction spread over them. Secret sins, pride, criticism, and unbelief were all confessed honestly before God. Each of the 12 got right with God and the meeting was ended. Orr made his way to his hotel room while those in the group went through the camp sharing what God had done in their lives. Despite the lateness of the hour, Orr had difficulty getting to sleep in his hotel room. He decided to go for a walk. He walked back toward the camp and was surprised to see a dozen prayer meetings going on throughout the camp. When he got back to his hotel, he discovered that he'd been locked out, so he walked back to the camp to find a place to spend the night. As he passed the main tent, he heard unusual sounds. There he discovered a deep revival had begun. Two young men from tent number 29 who were leading the meeting didn't know what to do. Recognizing the situation, they called for Orr to assume control. "Oh God, take the hatred out of my heart," someone prayed. "Knock the pride out of me so that I may have the grace to go shake hands with him and ask his forgiveness." As he concluded his prayer, the man got up, crossed the room, and held out his hand to a former enemy. They shook hands as tears rolled down the faces of others gathered in the meeting. And a wave of praise swept through the tent and the group stood to sing. A young man turned on the public address to announce, "Praise the Lord, a revival has begun the camp." The announcement drew others to the tent. They continued to sing past midnight. Next morning, Orr quickly learned that not everyone was happy about the noisy meeting of the night before. In an attempt to deal with criticism, he addressed the morning meeting briefly. He had the 60 stand who had experienced revival the previous evening. "We have come to Ngāruawahia for revival," he explained. "Revival has begun. Take heed that you do not hinder the work of the Spirit. Mark my words, you may see revival sweep the camp tonight." His words were to prove prophetic. Orr stepped up to the pulpit Saturday evening, preached for an hour as a holy hush of conviction came over the crowd. An invitation was given. 20 young people responded to confess sin. Many in tears knelt at the front. Throughout the tent, people began to break down in tears. And all more than 500 gathered in 17 after meetings scattered throughout the camp. 300 older people who remained in the main tent also experienced revival that evening. There that night 1,000 people returned to the main tent for a praise service that lasted another hour. J. Oswald Sanders, head of the China Inland Mission, one of the leaders involved that evening, later wrote, "Those of us who were responsible for the conduct of the camp meeting had the great joy of sitting back and seeing God work in a sovereign way. We were as men that dreamed." Those who had come to Ngarua Wahia for times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord had not been disappointed. They returned to their homes, churches, and communities, changed people. Before the weekend ended, hundreds of young people committed their lives to foreign missions. During the revival in New Zealand, J. Edwin Orr wrote the words of the Gospel Chorus that became the theme of his next great revival a few years later in Australia. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free."